Is anything too hard for the Lord? You know, in the sense of theology and the theoretical, all of us would say, amen, nothing is too hard for the Lord. We believe it. And then God asks of us something, and we say, but that doesn't make any sense. I want to take you into the private personal life of a lady long, long ago, about 2,000 years before Christ, Sarah. And our story is in Genesis 18. I love the stories. I like to use as much of my imagination as I can and be there. They live in a tent, not a house, but it could be a big, elaborate tent. My wife and I went to a Bedouin tent, and they make the tent out of woven goat hair, black goat hair. And the weave is such that the breeze will actually come through, but the hair is such that it expands with water and so becomes waterproof, nearly. They had then, you know, furniture and everything else. They were a fairly wealthy family even at this time. And you have a situation where you couldn't turn on the TV news or check your computer news or get your newspaper. So all you knew about what was going on is what other people told you as they were traveling through. So the story opens, and Abraham is standing outside, and he sees three travelers coming up the walk. And so he bows down to them and says, please, if you would like to rest here, I'll give you some food. And he's longing for a conversation about what's going on. What he didn't know, but would become apparent with the conversation, is these are two angels, and the Lord Christ himself have come to visit. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly three measures of fine meal. Knead it and make cakes upon the earth, upon the hearth. So make ready quickly is hasten. Hasten three measures of fine meal and knead it. So do this all very quickly. And Abraham ran unto the herd, fetched a calf tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. He took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. So it was air conditioned. They're under a tree. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? Now, that would be a surprise. Here's three people that, as far as facial recognition goes, you've never met these people before. Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. He said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. Boom, right after, past the mint jelly for the lamb, you know, I'll come back at the time of life and you're going to have a son. You recognize that the age, she's well past the time of giving childbirth, and her husband's body, the scripture says, was as good as dead. So you get the idea. So she heard it. Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? The pleasure of having a child to call her own. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh? Now you'll notice that she was behind him. Also, she did all this to herself. So, you know, it's almost like when she answers here, you could say, I didn't laugh out loud. Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, "Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old?" And he asks this question, "Is anything too hard for the Lord, for Jehovah? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." So Sarah squeaks up, denied, saying, "I laughed not," for she was afraid. And he said, "Nay, but thou didst laugh." one of those things where you stand before the Lord and there's no pretending. He knows it all. Sarah, like each of us, was well grounded in what she thought was reality. They tell us a lot now that perception is reality. Well, it's not true. You could, under the influence of some mind-altering drug, think that you could walk through a brick wall. The reality is the brick wall will flatten your face and you will not walk through the brick wall. So perception doesn't change reality. However, what we think is reality is pretty much a matter of our perception. So when you say, "I know God can do anything, but look, this stuff is real, here's a real situation," you have a perception of reality that's contrary to actual reality. For it is all in the hands of God. Is anything too hard for the Lord? The obvious answer is no, of course not. She laughed within herself at God's promise of a son. When God asked why she laughed, she denied it, but God knew. So let me ask two questions. First of all, why did she laugh? Before we rise up in holy judgment here, let's just think it through. Here's a woman who's lived all of her life, about 90 years. Why did she laugh? Well, the promise of children had been made to her 25 years before. She had been looking for the child to come, and they thought, well, evidently that's going to be with our head steward, our head slave. He's been a faithful man. We'll leave it to him. God says, no, it'll be one that comes from your body. And they say, well, maybe we'll try then with Hagar, who has a fertile body, and according to their laws from Ur of the Chaldee, any child born to a slave and the child born onto the lap of the wife became an heir. God says, no, it will come from Sarah. Now, you think about this promise made 25 years ago. Think how perhaps every year she wondered if now was the time. But time passed, and then it ceased to be with her as with women. And she said, well, then it's not going to happen, you see. That was her sense of reality. Again, she saw herself, she saw the length of time in this, she saw her husband's physical condition. Romans 4:19a, "And being not weak in faith, he," Abraham, "considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old." Abraham, we're going to find, does laugh also, but he laughs out loud with sort of the joy of the expectation. Not a laugh of doubt. But his own body, the scripture says, now dead, just as dead as her womb. Hebrews 11:12. "Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars in the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable." Speaking again of Abraham. So she saw that the promise had been made, but they'd waited too long. Couldn't happen now. That her husband's body, good as dead, and then she had passed into menopause and could not bear children. Genesis 17:17. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed, and said in his heart, "Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and Sarah that is 90 years old bear?" You see, the question here is not that he questioned it. That's what Romans 4:19 was talking about. He is laughing at the prospect of this joy, even though his body was dead. He's saying, "Boy, this is going to be quite an experience. We're going to have a baby." And he also, the rest of Romans 4:19, he did not consider neither the yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. His body now dead, her womb now dead. These were people that could not have children. By every standard of naturalism, every standard of physical reality. But God says, is anything too hard? You pile these things up. And I thought of another one. His reference here to their age brings up to me the last one. At their age, how could they raise a child? How much longer are they going to live? Well, it ends up they could live as long as they needed to. God, who could give life to his body and her body, could give life to them both as long as they were needed. I go through all of this. Why did she laugh? Because this just didn't seem real. We come to a place in our life when God tells us something and we're saying, "Yeah, that would be nice, but that's not going to happen." But let me ask this question. Why shouldn't she have laughed? And here's the lesson to all of us. When God tells us something, we ought not to laugh in doubt and mockery. Why? Well, first of all, God cannot lie. It's not just that he chooses not to. That's part of his very nature. He could no more lie than Jeb could resist a Reese's peanut butter cup. You know, I mean, it's just part of the nature, part of the way you're built. Titus 1:2. In the hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. God is infinite. Is there anything God cannot do? Well, yeah, he can't lie, but that's not too hard for him. It's just contrary to his nature. Hebrews 6:18, that by two immutable, unchangeable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Let us take a deep breath and say, if God said it and God cannot lie, then I need to believe it even when it doesn't seem believable. Our song was talking about the fathomless billows of love. Got to thinking about we people say, "I can't fathom it." It's fathomless, but that's a measure of depth, a fathom. You see, a fathomless billows would be a measureless depth of ocean. And when God says it, he brings the power of omnipotence and omniscience to bear. Another reason why she shouldn't have laughed is because God can raise the dead. Acts 26:8, why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? Where did man come from, you see? Hebrews 11:19, Abraham, accounting that God was able to raise him, Isaac, up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. The belief in resurrection, the belief that God can raise the dead, certainly would mean that if his body was as good as dead and her body was as good as dead, God can change that. if he can take an absolutely dead body and make it alive again, then this is no problem. Again, God can breathe life into lifeless matter. Not just dead bodies that used to be alive, stop being alive for a while, he can bring them back, but even lifeless matter. There's creation. Genesis 2:7, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That which had never been alive, inert, having trouble with my throat, inert matter, dead dust, clay, God breathed into it and became living being. Isaiah 2:22. Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? We walk today because one day God breathed his life into molded clay. And then recognize this, that God made men to live for hundreds of years. Was that a problem for them to live on, take care of a baby that born when he's 100 and she's 90? Not a problem. The source of life is God. We take comfort in that, visiting with Liliana, now 3 years old, and really wasn't expected to live any more than 3 days, I think Jerry was saying this morning. Good analogy. A beautiful thing to see her alive and well, smiling at the family and engaging in some teasing with the family and all that. Enjoying her life. Just look at Genesis chapter 5. All the days that Adam lived were 930 years. What's 100 years old when you can live to 930? And he started out as an adult, by the way. And he died. Verse 8, all the days of Seth were 912 years. Good news for Seth. 912. Hope you're saving up for retirement. And he died. And all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. All the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. And all the days of Mahalalel were 895, and he died. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. The thing is this, life depends on God. Robert Soad, the magician that came and helped us with the Vacation Bible School, has been a health nut since his youth. He was a cyclist and always ate healthy and avoided the greasy cheeseburgers and all of that. And he's had now at least 3 heart problems. You can only do so much. But all life comes from God. Well, what does this mean, and what does it mean for us? God has not promised us a child in our old age, nor were we hoping for one, in fact. But let me share with you another verse from the New Testament given in like circumstances, and this is Luke 1:37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Getting into this verse just a little bit, we recognize that in another way, is there anything too hard for the Lord? No. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. This actually bridges over and speaks to us as well, because God wants to perform the impossible by using believers as his human instruments. Can you believe him? Can you trust that he can do what seems impossible? Salvation is impossible that was the story of the prophet of the Old Testament. He says, can the leopard change his spots? See? Can the black Ethiopian change color of his skin? Yet, God can change us. You see, God can change us. The Wiest New Testament translates this passage, and behold, Elizabeth, your kinswoman, the angel speaking to Mary, also herself conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who is called sterile. For, and here's our verse, in the presence of God, notice this, no word shall be impossible. The context speaks of Elizabeth conceiving after her old age. The three words in the Greek that are translated nothing in the King James are uk pan chrema. Now, those mean literally not every, and chrema is the spoken word. The word nothing shall be impossible means not every spoken word. John Calvin expressing this, if we choose to take chrema word in its strict and native sense, the meaning is that God will do what he hath promised, what he has said, for no hindrance can resist his power. Now there's something to dwell on. If he said it, it is true, even if it contradicts every sense of your perceived reality. So, salvation, as I said, how about you conquering your sin? Oh, I've tried. The promise was made 25 years ago, and I've tried ever since. Still have that sin dealing with me, see? I don't think it's possible with me. Okay, it's not possible with you, but here's the thing. It's not possible. It is possible with him. For nothing that he promised. Go back to Romans 6. Read it again. See that sin shall not have dominion over you. God's word. So accept it. Know it to be true. Matthew Poole said, I bring you a message from God. He's going into that passage, to whom all things are possible. This was an ordinary saying amongst them, nothing is impossible with God. Nor needed we any scripture to prove that nothing could be impossible to him who is the first being, the first cause, and the fountain of all power, and to whom all things are subject. I've often thought about Christ's phrase when he was criticized at the triumphal entry. Did you hear what these people were saying? And he says, if they were quiet, the rocks themselves would have to cry out. Wow, that would have been something, wouldn't it? Rocks, like those big rocks in the movie Frozen, you know, turn into trolls and stand up and start praising God. What an amazing concept that the rocks would cry out. How could rocks cry out? Everything is subject to God. Why does a rock stay a rock? Because God just wills it to be so as long as he chooses. My friend, read the Word of God, see what he says, and then don't doubt him. For with God, nothing, not one of his spoken words shall be impossible. It's already been worked out with him. Well, let's bow forward to prayer. Father, we thank you that we have this opportunity to look to a mother or two mothers of long time ago, 2000 BC and 2000 years ago, that were spoken to concerning having a child in their old age when their bodies were not capable of doing it. One became Isaac, one became John the Baptist. We just thank you, Father, that when you say something, we may walk firmly on that promise. Peter asks, "Bid me come to you on the water." And on Christ's words, he walks on the water. We ask, Father, that you might help us then to recognize with Sarah, when everything seems to be against what God has said, not to laugh in doubt, but to laugh as Abraham did, rejoicing that something unbelievable is going to happen. Help us then to acknowledge that with you, nothing that you have spoken is impossible. With heads bowed, eyes closed, I wonder if you would say, Pastor, I recognize that God tells me things. He expects certain things of me, and I'm telling him it can't happen. I can't do it. I don't have that ability. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Yeah, it was not the Lord that was going to have the baby. It was Sarah. But the question is there anything too hard for the Lord? No, there isn't. And so he could change her body. He can change you. He can bring you to the place. You can do anything in his holy will. If you're concerned about that, I wonder if you would just desire prayer tonight. Say, pray for me. Help me to go beyond my version of reality and expand it out to see God's version of reality. Nothing is too hard for him, and nothing is impossible. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up and say, pray for me? I'd like to grow in my understanding that when God says it, it's absolutely true. Pray for me. Father, thank you for this opportunity to enter into the life, very private life of Sarah, to recognize her doubts, her sense that the time had passed. She was not going to have a child. We ask that you might help us to see that where we have come to conclusion, perhaps, that we can't do the things that you've told us to do, we need to recognize that nothing is too hard for you. We can do anything and everything that you've asked of us. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.